The sun had set by now, and the light faded almost to evening, but Nobu sat in the brightness of a paper lantern. I'd never before seen him so exposed. The scarring that I thought was at its worst on one side of his face was every bit as bad on his damaged shoulder, though his other shoulder was beautifully smooth, like an egg. And now, to think that I was considering betraying him, he would think I had done it for only one reason and would never understand the truth. I couldn't bear the thought of hurting Nobu or of destroying his regard for me. I wasn't at all sure I could go through with it. After breakfast the following morning, we all took a walk through the tropical forest to the sea cliffs nearby, where the stream from our inn poured over a picturesque little waterfall into the ocean. We stood a long while admiring the view. Even when we were all ready to leave, the chairman could hardly tear himself away. On the return trip, I walked beside Nobu, who was still as cheerful as I'd ever seen him. Afterward, we toured the island in the back of a military truck fitted with benches, and saw bananas and pineapples growing on the trees and beautiful birds. From the mountaintops, the ocean looked like a crumpled blanket in turquoise with stains of dark blue. That afternoon, we wandered the dirt streets of the little village and soon came upon an old wood building that looked like a warehouse with a sloped roof of thatch. We ended up walking around to the back, where Nobu climbed stone steps, to open a door at the corner of the building, and the sunlight fell across a dusty stage built out of planking. Evidently, it had at one time been a warehouse but was now the town's theater. When I first stepped inside, I didn't think very much about it, but after the door banged shut and we made our way to the street again, I began to feel that same feeling of a fever breaking, because in my mind I had an image of myself lying there on the rutted flooring with the minister as the door creaked open and sunlight fell across us. We would have no place to hide. Nobu couldn't possibly fail to see us. In many ways, I'm sure it was the very spot I'd half hoped to find. But I wasn't thinking of these things. I wasn't really thinking at all, so much as struggling to put my thoughts into some kind of order. They felt to me like rice pouring from a torn sack. As we walked back up the hill toward our inn, I had to fall back from the group to take my handkerchief from my sleeve. It was certainly very warm there on that road, with the afternoon sun shining full onto our faces. I wasn't the only one perspiring, but Nobu came walking back to ask if I was all right. When I couldn't manage to answer him right away, I hoped he would think it was the strain of walking up the hill. "You haven't looked well all weekend, Sayori. Perhaps you ought to have stayed in Kyoto." "But when would I have seen this beautiful island?"
"I'm sure this is the farthest you've ever been from your home. We're as far from Kyoto now as Hokkaido is,"